Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Fire up that music! Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo! Let's go! Let's go! What is up, everybody? Welcome into the Losers Lounge. Let's go! Guys, you know what? Grab a drink. It's Friday night. We could let our hair down a little bit, Eric. Let that beautiful hair down a little bit.
When I was thinking about my summer, man, this is how I envisioned my Friday night going. Just picking apart. An enthralling summer league matchup.
Can I tell you something? In like 1 week, we're not going to have any basketball until September 1st when Nikola Jokic steps out on the court.
And I should be grateful for what I just watched. Grateful.
You're going to miss. There's going to be a time when you're going to be like, I wish I could watch Jack White and Matt Mitchell.
I like watching Jack White. I will say that. I do like watching him.
Guys, we're presented as always by DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. Use promo code DNVR whenever you sign up. Bet on the Nuggets of Summer League. I gave bad advice. I said the Nuggets were going to win tonight. I didn't even do my scouting report. The Nuggets got absolutely murdered by the Summer League 76ers, 97-71. Don't tell us that Joel Embiid doesn't have any help. He has lots of help here on this Summer League team. An abysmal one, not so great one. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk about DeAndre Ayton staying in Phoenix. Does that mean Phoenix is in tier one in the West? I kind of think it does. We're going to debate that on the other side. And then there's some other little odds and ends. Austin Rivers, I don't know if you guys heard, he's going with Tim Conley and Bryn Forbes. The band is back together. Nuggets North, reassembling in Minnesota. We'll get to all of that and more. But first, Eric. On a scale of one to a trillion, where does that rank in your all-time best basketball games you've ever watched?
So hold on. What does 1 trillion represent? The best
of the worst? That's the best. That's like okay. That would be like Nuggets, Pelicans, Jokic takes over.
I'm going to go with one.
You might be a little too hot.
You might be a little too high. We do the heat index on social for every one of these summer league games where we kind of like say where guys are, like very generous. Way too generous in our grading.
You know what? You know what happened is I ran out of blue balls. I really left. I couldn't give them.
So God! You only had two of them.
Only two blue balls to give. This was honestly a bad game with very little things to discuss. You know, positive on it. I do think we need to break into all of the negatives. But Harrison, I'm going to start with you. Kind of, what's your big takeaway? Again, doesn't have to be a positive one. But what's your big takeaway from this game?
I'll go positive. I'm a positive person. I'm a positive person. Christian Brown hit two threes. He hit two threes.
But what do you say? He's the DraftKings Sportsbook's king of the game?
I would say that. It was a tough competition, but I would.
King of the world.
Yeah. Look, man, like Christian Brown was down bad these last couple games. Brown and bad. Even in the first half for most of it today, he was also. But he got those two threes to go in. And, yeah, he still made some mistakes in the second half, but – thank God he just saw the ball go through the rim twice to close the second quarter. Those were two big threes. Like, he's still shooting just god-awful percentages from the field and from three at Summer League. But for a moment, he got hot. There was a moment where he was feeling it tonight. I'll take that. I will take that to the bank.
Eric, I will take it too. I mean, look, he came around to Browntown tonight.
He dipped his toe into Browntown.
Dude, Browntown is shut down. There's no Browntown. Like, Browntown has no – this is not a civilization. We have a brown shack that's hanging out by itself in the middle of the prairie. I don't want to put too much stock in what I just watched.
It's a good plan. It's a good idea.
But it was not good. Draft picks for the Denver Nuggets did not seem promising. I did not see. I, unlike Harrison, not a positive person. So I did see those two shots go in by Christian Brown. But they
Eric, Christian Brown, 4 steals. I know. 6 assists. So honestly, 6 rebounds. Well-rounded game.
Honestly, what was his plus minus?
Minus 8. Come on, man. Who pays attention to plus minus in a game like this? But he shot 4 of 11, 2 of 4 from 3. Like, the field goal percentage has not been there. But like I said, he hit those 2 threes. And he's been rebounding the ball well at Summer League. His defense has been good. 4 steals today, 6 assists. So, like, the flashes were there, I think, from Brown. He was the best of the worst today.
This is going to feel like a hot take because I'm with you, Eric, that he did, like, there's some discouraging parts to his game tonight, getting his shot blocked. Some of the turnovers were like really like bad times. Ones. Like
the worst I've ever seen.
Yeah. Like the low lights were really low, but I will say this, and he has a little bit of Zeke Nagy to his game in that I don't think this is the environment for him. Like, he's not a great creator and he's kind of a reluctant creator and he's been tasked with that. One of the storylines for today is, the Nuggets open this game and they run a couple sets through Peyton Watson and through Christian Brown. They had Brown bring the ball up against pressure and he got an 8-second violation. Yep. And then he brings it up next time, can barely get it across half court before handing it off to somebody else. Like, he clearly is, they're asking him to explore his game a little bit. Like, can we trust you to do this? The answers coming back on some of these aspects are no, like, we can't. He's not a guy that we're probably going to ask to break pressure full court. And other teams maybe, you know, we'll even say like, hey, this is a guy that if they do need that, we're going to try to pressure him and put him in that spot. So we learned like some of these negatives, but I do think it's important again to analyze him within the role of what he is being asked to do in Denver. What he's being asked to do is to get 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 4 steals, 1 block. He's asked to do those things. That part he's consistently done. If you look at his stat lines through every game, he's been getting steals. He's been getting blocks. He's been getting rebounds and assists. So part of me looks at this and says, the most important parts of his game have actually been okay. They haven't popped, but they've been okay. Like, he's putting up the production. The shooting and the creation and stuff is like, yeah, you're not getting a lot of that from him. And I think some of that at least is like to be expected. The other part of that may be a little concerning.
Yeah, for me, it's like, I mean, obviously you can't judge the guy based off of this first Summer League appearance. But I will say, I'm just like not hyped. Like, I, you know, Bones Highland is a hooper. Bones Highland is a creator. Bones Highland is built for Summer League. Coming out of Summer League, that's where my deep love affair with Bones Highland began.
Do you know who led the Nuggets in scoring last year? I had to look this up.
Was it Bol Bol?
He was 6th in Summer League scoring last year, Bol Bol.
He was a monster. He was a monster in Summer League. An absolute monster. And so I don't know, like, you're right. The thing that's like difficult, there's a lot of like, okay, on the one hand. Yes, he's getting a lot of steals, but it's in the sloppiest play you can imagine when a lot of times the ball just like finds itself for anybody looking. Getting rebounds, like not a lot of blocking out going on in some.
I will say, I think his rebounding has been impressive. I think he's a shooting guard. I think that he's grabbed some rebounds where I've been like, man, that's a pretty impressive, you know, to get that one.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I just will, you know, for whatever it's worth, I'm not feeling that enthusiastic about our draft picks, Peyton Watson included. But I also, as you're saying, I completely recognize the context of how we're analyzing these guys, but I do know that there are other guys that will play similar roles in the NBA that are shining in Summer League. Like Tari Eason, for example, my goddamn guy. Like, you definitely want to see Christian Brown hitting 3-pointers. We saw a couple. I mean, what is he now? Like 3 for 28 or something. Like, I don't know. I don't want to be too negative, so I'm gonna stop talking.
It's fair though. It's not like you're analyzing something we're not all seeing. It's easily there. Are you encouraged? Is there anything about like, are you're hearing what I'm saying, Harrison? Is there any part of you that looks at it and says, "Hey, he's doing the unheralded stuff"?
So for sure, something. For sure. I think the Nuggets really wanted Christian Brown. Like, if Christian Brown's going to play next season, he's going to have to do a lot of the dirty work, you know?
There's no way he's playing next season. No way.
Man, I don't know. So not ready. I mean, I still think he's going to play.
Based off these four games, no, but we'll see. There's still a long offseason to go.
No way.
But they're going to need him to do the dirty stuff, to rebound, to get steals, and just to be like that connector. He has been that guy, I think, a lot of times at Summer League. I mean, he was, Eric, think back to that first game, man. Like, he was great that first game. Right. After that first game, you thought he was going to play minutes, and he lost his confidence over these next couple. But I was a little encouraged with some aspects of his game tonight. And yeah, he's doing the little stuff. The only thing is, you just wish his three-pointer had been falling, because that's another thing you could point to and be like, okay, like, there's another reason he could play next season. If he was just this knockdown guy, he's not right now. He just doesn't have the confidence in his jumper. Maybe the two threes he made tonight in the second quarter give him that confidence. We'll see. But I would just like him to be that knockdown guy. That would have been great.
Honestly, he hasn't been as bad. This is weird to say. He hasn't been as bad as Zeke Nagy was last year. Zeke Nagy was meaningfully worse. He had all of the same lowlights with none of the production. And Zeke played 700 minutes last year. So
it was his second year too.
It was his second year. But what you're saying is that Zeke Nagy was exploring his game last year. He was driving the paint. He was turning the ball over. He was doing things that he absolutely would not and will not be asked to do at an NBA level. Same with Christian Brown. He's doing things that will not be asked of him at an NBA level. So it's very difficult to evaluate him. But I mean, he's not much better than Zeke Nagy was last year. I mean, truthfully, like, it's like he is because you literally cannot be worse. But I don't know. Listen, guys, it's a Friday. I'm in a bad way. Like, I don't know what to say. I just watched that game. I was expecting to be sent into my weekend on cloud nine, watching my beloved Summer League Denver Nuggets.
That was your problem. Expectations were too high. That's where you went wrong.
I will say one other thing here, and it's going to sound like I'm making excuses. Maybe I kind of am. Grant Riller, Isaiah Joe, Charles Bassey, like, they had a couple guys with some experience in it. And there's always, like, Denver doesn't have a single guy that played in the NBA last year or even in the G League. And there is just a different. I mean, if you look at the top scorers from this year,
the disrespect to Marcus Burke is palpable right now. Palpable.
Almost every single one of the top scorers in Summer League is a second-year player. So there is a little bit of this, like, the difference between a guy who has 1 year of confidence and experience versus a rookie is a little bit. Nonetheless, that's enough excuses. Christian Brown hasn't been good. I hope he plays.
I'm too down on Brown.
Yeah, you're too down, man.
He's down. I wanted to hit this comment from before we popped on. Mamadou Ndiaye, guys, to close the game.
Of course, Harrison.
He did some good things. 12 points, 4-4 from the field, 2-2 from three.
Eric, what's
my guy Noah picking up on the stock report here?
I stopped watching the game once the starters were taken.
Well, that's you right. Missed Mamadou Ndiaye going off, Eric.
Well, let's do this rather than analyze this game, because honestly, Peyton Watson not good tonight. He had one great pass that I was like, hey, that's a hell of an assist to the corner. That was about the only thing I really remember positive from his game tonight. Kamagate, second game in a row, just invisible out there. He goes 1 of 1 from the field, didn't touch the ball. And some of this isn't on him. Like, again, some of this is the Nuggets. This Summer League team was not put together with the idea of like, hey, we're going to build a team. It was built with like, hey, we're going to find a defender for our regular roster. And I think Kamagate is maybe being penalized the most for this, because like, you need somebody that can penetrate and drop it off to the big man. Nobody can do that. Nonetheless, he looks bad. Like, he's not even having a defensive impact in this game. So all the guys are bad. So rather than just kind of talk about all the Nuggets are bad. Let's just do a quick stock report. We just talked about Christian Brown, but what about, the cursed graphic. Four games of Summer League. There's going to be one more. Stonk report for Christian Brown, up or down from where it was before Summer League, D-line?
Down. Down, for sure. Down.
Down.
For sure. It was after the first game, I was like, oh yeah, dude. Well, we fucking stole one. Like, they made a mistake by not watching the Nuggets when they were on the clock. And then I'm like, Oh, I miss Tim. Where's Tim?
Harrison, where are you at? Up or down? Or even?
Probably down, to be totally honest, which sucks. But if he had kept going at that pace he was in that first game, he'd be definitely up. But it was just pretty much like three games of bleh, you know? So I want to go even, but I got to go down.
I'm with Harrison. I'm like slight down. It's not a big down, but it's a slight down. Yeah. Like I went from saying like he's going to have a chance to really crack the rotation and this or that to now it's like the almost the onus is like on him. Like he's got to outcompete somebody. I know it's dumb. I don't think the team views it that way because I think they try to put this in a vacuum and we'll see what the Nuggets look like. One positive I will say is I think he was a hard worker to begin with. That's been the reputation on him. But I do feel like there's probably – if I'm Christian Brown, I probably go home next week and I think – I got some work to do before camp. Like there's some areas I really, you can kind of see where people are going to be picking on him at the NBA level. All right. Peyton Watson, stock up or down? I'll start with you, Harrison.
I got to go even on Peyton Watson just because I think my expectations were a lot lower than your guys's heading into summer league. Like I thought he was going to have some flashes, but then, you know, look like the worst player on the floor for some of it. So I'm pretty even on him. I've never really expected him to be a contributor next season, and he showed this week that he's probably not going to be. I'd say even.
God, what would our opinion of Peyton Watson be without that second game?
Oh, it'd be so bad. It'd be really bad.
Right? Like, we would be like,
I mean, he averaged 3 points in college, and tonight he had 2 points.
So almost his average.
Oh my God. No, he scored under his college average. Of
he only minutes. Played 18 minutes.
Eric is so down bad.
It's so funny. Wow. Holy smokes. Okay. So coming into summer league, not great vibes on PWAT. First game, bad. Second game, incredible.
Incredible.
Second game or third game, good. This game, not, it was bad. This was, the problem was that this game is that he wasn't actively bad like he was in the first game. He was just like literally invisible. Like, yeah. I don't know how you can be erased from a summer league game. It seems insane. But God, I don't know. So I'll go even, whatever. Like, you're right. Like, we didn't have high expectations. And that second game was so like intriguing. It like gave us so much the wind I felt beneath my wings in the PWAT train after the second game. It's just I'm still gliding from that. I'm still it does feel like I'm plummeting, like maybe my parachute has a hole in it, but all the same, the heights I achieved in second game.
So oh, man. Yeah. I'll never forget them.
I will say, because I'm with you guys, that my expectations were low. I think in three of the games he actually underperformed my low expectations. And one of them, to your point, was such a good game that it's hard to analyze. It's like, is that the real PWAT?
Also, will the real PWAT just stand up, please?
So I think I might go a slight down on him too. Nothing crazy, but it is like, when I look at the amount of development he has ahead of him to become the unlocked version of himself, it's a lot. So like, I look at that and I go, it's going to be tough, man. It's going to be awfully tough. Kamagate, Ismael Kamagate. Eric.
I'm going to go up as far as the stonks coming in. I had very low expectations. He was not great the first game, but, you know, as has been told us, he just arrived in the country.
I think it was his second best game, just so you know.
He had communication blocks, but then he's been – outside of this game where he was also underperformed, Peyton Watson,
there's only
college
been
average of
games,
3 points. Or did he end up with 3 points?
He had three.
Oh, let's go, dude. So he had Peyton Watson's college average of 3 points this game. I don't know. Like, he sort of looked, he just went from complete unknown, complete mystery to like, okay, this is like a tall guy, has some – a lot of length that he can work with. You can see the defensive chops a little bit. You can't expect anything from a big man like that in summer league. So, but he looked like a guy where you can be like, all right, you can now, like, down the line, you can see how they could potentially fold this guy into the Nuggets plan. So I'm up on Kamagate. Let's go.
What do you think, Wind?
I'd say I'm even. I mean, a couple days ago, I was here saying how Ismael Kamagate is going to be the backup center next season.
It feels like a long way away from
I'm that. Not saying that anymore.
Man, this game ruined all of our narratives. Every single one. Yeah. Shot.
No, I mean, he could still be that guy. We'll see. We'll see. But he does have a ways to go, of course. We knew that. But I am a little glad that we can cool the Jets on the Kamagate hype, because it was getting a little out of control for a second there. Partially my fault.
Was that your dog giving a review of the Denver Nuggets Summer League performance?
That was her. She's way down on Kamagate. Really down. Man, I'm going to go up still. Like, if you ask me where was I on Kamagate at the draft versus where I am now, I'm like higher. I do think he, like Brown, is a victim of this bad sort of summer league team. Like, big guys just in general, man, big guys need the ball. And what did Yoke average in summer league? I put these numbers up in that video I did. It was something like 10 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist. Yeah. You know, it was like such an unimpressive stat line. Biggs.
It was, I'm sure it mirrors his all-star game performances. Like, no one gives him the ball.
Kamagate, to me, I think he has more development than his most ardent supporters probably think. Well, he has a lot of work ahead of him. I still do wish there was a way that Denver could bring him over. I know it's just tough with his contract buyout and everything else, but he is a guy that I would love to get in the system sooner rather than later. And then lastly, Colin Gillespie, my guy, Colin. Ooh, by the way,
you could have him.
Three bangers. He's had three bangers tonight.
Also, everyone else. Yeah. Also, he threw a football into a basket from the opposite corner of the floor. Do you see that?
That was really crazy. Impressive, man. That was really impressive.
Like, that was more impressive than anything he did today. I'm going to go stock up for Gillespie, though. Even today, you know, it was his worst game at Summer League. He just didn't shoot the ball well. But I like him. He's super steady, super solid. I really like him as that prototypical and really projectable, you know, third string, maybe second string point guard in due time. I really like him.
He was bad
tonight
too, though. It needs to be said. He was bad tonight as well.
Oh, for sure. He got a blue ball, man. Oh no, we gave him a last minute yellow, if I remember. Yeah, I'm definitely up on him overall. This was not a great game. We saw none of the things that he showed us in the previous games, where he was able to get other people involved, where he was able to drive the lane, where he was able to be a floor general. Today he was just, and maybe a lot of that was like you were alluding to earlier, Adam, they were looking to get Pewatt and Browntown involved as far as like initiating offense early. And then it just kind of like never, like it just, you know, the offense early was just like one guy got the ball, that guy shot the ball.
They tried.
One guy got the ball. Yeah. That guy shot the ball.
I want to hear the post-game comments from Ryan Bowen, because I feel like they were experimenting tonight, and it was, like, terrible. Because they didn't have the ball in Collins' hands in that first quarter. For some reason, they were, like, trying to put him off ball, and it was a disaster.
Total disaster. That first, like, 5 minutes of that game were just about as painful I've ever.
They had 4 points, I think, through 8 minutes.
They had like 4 points with 3 minutes left in the first. Marissa came in and she's like, "What are you watching?" I'm like, "The Nuggets. Look at this. Look at this." So, but overall, I mean, Colin Gillespie, the word steady, the word in control, the word, all of these things most certainly apply.
Some would say
very presidential, but he also, I mean, he does possess the ability to be more to press. Which he did not show tonight, which we don't know. But overall, definitely up on Gillespie. No question.
All right. So it sounds like we have two guys who are slight ups and two guys who are slight downs. We'll call it a wash. Actually, it's the second rounder and the two-way guy that are up. The two first-round picks that are down.
So two first-round picks.
We're still down. All right, let's take a quick break here on the other side, though. We'll forget about the Summer League Nuggets for a moment.
Throw it out.
Let's talk about the Phoenix Suns.
All right,
we'll talk about them on the other side.
Guys, if you haven't been able to watch Nuggets, Avs, and Rapids games, check out Evoca TV. They've got Altitude Sports. They got AT&T Sportsnet. They got other national channels as well. You can get Evoca TV at evoca.tv/DNVR. Use the promo code DNVR. You're going to get $10 off your first 3 months. That's only $15 a month for those first 3 months. Plus a receiver, no contracts, no hidden fees. ivaka.tv/DNVR. It's the future of TV. Cut the cord. Check out Ivaka TV. Watch Nuggets, Avs, Rockies, Rapids games, other national channels as well. Ivaka.tv/DNVR. The action never ends at DraftKings Sportsbook, especially this summer. With tons of ways to bet on your favorite sports, you can fuel your fandom and feel the heat of the season like never before. Right now, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving new customers a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's right. Sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook right now. Make your first bet up to $1,000. If it doesn't win, you'll get another shot to cash it in. You can bet on baseball, golf, MMA right now, Summer League, although I wouldn't advise it. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code DNVR. Make your first deposit. Get a risk-free bet up to $1,000. That's promo code DNVR, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
You can wave. You can wave to the camera. You can tell everybody. My kids have infiltrated the live stream here. All right.
What do you think about Colin Gillespie? All right, no comment. All right.
Gotta go. All right. Love you, baby.
All right. No comment.
All right. Segment number two here. What? You gotta go. I heard the Fanta. Friday night, everything's a little bit more chaotic at the house. Phoenix Suns. They did the weird thing where they acted all year like they didn't want DeAndre Ayton. They didn't give him the max deal. And then when Indiana offers it to him, they sign it actually before they were allowed to. The weirdest negotiation tactic of all time. I honestly don't understand what the thought process was here. There's actually no reason to sign it right away. You could tell people you'll sign it right away and then just drain the clock or whatever, you know, like just use up the clock. Instead, they did it this way. Anyway, long story short, he's going to be in Phoenix. He effectively has a no trade clause now for one season, or the ability to veto any trade. They can't trade him to Indiana, which is like one of the teams that wanted him. So I think he's actually very likely just to stay in Phoenix for the entirety of the season. Eric, what do you make of this move? And does it mean, sadly, did we prematurely bury the Phoenix Suns and their time as true contenders?
What does this mean? So to me, they clearly did not want to re-sign DeAndre Ayton. They wanted to move on from him. They couldn't make a sign and trade happen in the window that they wanted to. The Indiana Pacers got impatient, so they just submitted an offer. And then at that point, the Phoenix Suns were like, God damn it, we just lost all of our negotiation chips. And so then they were like, sign it right away. Like, we've already done enough psychological damage to this guy. Like, we've already, like, we need to mitigate bring in as much damage control as possible. So we can be like, DeAndre, we always want it. I mean, like, we were just... Yeah. You know, we're just exploring our options. It's a business. You know, it's a business. Yeah. But, you know, when faced with the idea that we were going to lose you, of course we resigned. The worst thing I saw is that people in Phoenix or somebody in Phoenix was claiming that the Suns played the Indiana Pacers like a fiddle on this one because they ultimately, and this is actually true. They ultimately got to sign him for less than they would have because it wasn't a –
The homegrown max.
So, but I was like, that's the most absurd. Like, the Phoenix Suns had such larger aspirations for this offseason, and now they're effectively just running it back, which, like, boo hoo, it's a 64 win team. You're running back a 64 win team. Like,
I know.
What is the problem here, you idiots? So I hate that they were forced to make the right move, but they ultimately made the right move. Like, it sucks.
they were forced to make the right move. So are they, I mean, are they still, are they a top four team?
Yeah. Oh, no question.
Absolutely.
In the regular season, they're going to be incredible again. And then in the postseason, Chris Paul's going to wilt. He's going to fade away. They're going to melt as a team. They're going to lose. We're going to watch. It's going to be amazing. But in the regular season, absolutely they're tier one.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that comment in a second, David Chay. But all right, Harrison, what about you?
Well, it's going to come down to, does DeAndre Ayton buy in? Like that's what this whole thing is going to come down to. Like, is Chris Paul going to lock him in a room and be like, look, let's let bygones be bygones, all that bullshit from the past. Let's lock it and try to win a championship. Like, if DeAndre Ayton buys into Chris Paul's bullshit, yeah, like, they're going to be a force. They're going to be absolutely a threat because, like, we know how damn good that team is when they've got that big three, Mikal Bridges. They still have the same team from last year.
It's the same goddamn team.
Yes, they're really freaking good again, and they will be again if, you know, DeAndre buys in. But that's a big if, because you, like, in this world that we live in, like, nothing matters anymore. You know, politics, business, you can act like you don't want a guy for an entire year and then try to just put forward the messaging. Oh, of course we always wanted DeAndre Ayton. Of course we did. We signed that offer sheet the second we matched that offer sheet the second we could have. Nothing matters. It's all going to be about if you know, DeAndre Ayton buys in or just like still doesn't want
to. Of course he will.
This is the thing. I think he will too. I think there's a lot of the, like,
he will.
He's not going to be happy there. He's going to be mad. Like, look, man, he wanted money and he ended up getting it. And also, he got to read the market. The market didn't want him. You know, one team in Indiana did. I don't think he was, like, gung-ho about going to Indiana. Like, he got to read it. He got to see it. Now he goes back. And to your point, they get to go to be a 64-win team now. They have to run it back. Now, last year, they did have a lot of things. The last 2 years, they had a lot of things go right for them. You know, and I also feel like, in some ways, your teeth kind of get pulled out from you. Like, right now, the Memphis Grizzlies are a tough team. Like, they're a bad, you know, a tough, badass team. But the moment that everyone's like, all right, let's see what you have for an encore, and you just, you know, you don't have anything, it's like, okay, that was a paper tiger. I feel like the Suns are that a little bit, where they were the big bully, and then they went out sad, and now everyone's like, you know, in January, when you guys win on the road, don't, like, strut around the court as you walk off.
Like, I don't want to see any videos of them barking like dogs.
No, yeah, no barking like a dog. You don't have that dog in you. Like, they kind of lose that swagger. And I feel like that swagger is important in the NBA. Like, once you have it, you can't, you got to win. The swagger's been taken from them a little bit, but they're still a very talented team. But I do love this comment here. This is, I think, the most interesting angle from this. And this is, observation last 24 hours. Can you, you know, whatever. Nuggets fans killed Conley for the MPJ contract early. Suns fans,
they didn't kill him for the contract until MPJ got hurt again.
I think people killed him. Like, there were still people that thought, well, here's the point. They gave MPJ the max before they ever had to. The Nuggets could have very easily said, we're going to do the MPJ. We're going to do what they did with Ayton and just not give him the max, make him earn it. He would have gotten hurt. And then you go into free agency and you say, restricted free agency, we can match any of these offers. Like, you could play that game. And it probably would have worked out better. And everybody says, well, what would you risk? Will you risk pissing a guy off? Well, we just talked about Ayton and said he's not going to be pissed off. He's going to play. Well, part of me thinks we always overestimate. There is a world. The Gordon Hayward situation is the counter to this, where you can piss a guy off. But if it's not your number one guy, I just don't know that you need to worry about that.
To me, the reason that Ayton's not going to be pissed off is because he's not American. He's Bahamian. Like, he's like, has the humility of coming from the world. Like, he's not a spoiled guy like Michael Porter Jr. Like, one of these guys that just the red carpet.
Michael Porter, if they didn't give him a max, some other team gave it to him, and then Denver matched it, you think he would be, like, meaningfully worse as a player for Denver?
No, I don't think so. But I do think we would get pouty Mikey for sure. No question. Like, you could just see, you could see that for sure. Like, for how long, I don't know. I'm sure he gets over it. Michael Malone is like this is his absolute number one skill set. It's just like relating to the players and whatever. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, it's just running an NBA team is so insane. The razor thin barrier between success and failure is just like one guy that soaks up an enormous amount of resources, has to either be good or not good. And then if he does well, you're a genius. If he does not, you're an idiot. And that's it. Like, just the room for error in an NBA front office is just so small compared to any of the other sports.
Right. Yeah. Right. So I don't know. It is an interesting one. I'm with you guys though. We just went yesterday and we said the tiers, or yesterday or 2 days ago, we said the tiers, like Nuggets, Warriors, Clippers. That's the tier, the top tier. I put the Suns in there now. There's four teams, for sure. And it sucks because it means you're almost guaranteed, no matter what, to have a really tough second round matchup. Forget the first round matchup, which is going to be tough, but you get to the second round, very likely at least three of those four teams are going to make it that far. And that means you're just going to have a tough matchup. In that second, like a really truly tough matchup where any of those four teams could come out of it. That's really tough. We'll just have to wait and see how it goes. Any other final thoughts here on Ayton?
Well, I just don't see the Suns being as good as they were last year still. Yeah, especially the year before. Chris Paul's a year older.
Yeah, yeah, but so is Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and Mikal Bridges. Like, three of the right. top four players are older in the positive direction.
But I feel right. there's, I feel like we have seen the peak of Booker. Do you think he's going to get better?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope so.
I mean, he's like, I don't.
He's like 24. Yeah.
Well, for the Phoenix Suns, still, I don't know. I just think, like, the Phoenix Suns, like, that version that went up against the Denver Nuggets, I just have a tough time seeing Phoenix as a team being better than that year's version. Now, maybe collectively, like, a lot of teams in the West are worse, and they can still make a run, which they definitely can, but I don't, like, see them being, like, way better than that team or anything.
I thought Joshua has a comment in here, and I thought he was making a joke at first. You guys are two down. Brown. Like, I thought he was doing a Brown down. Nope.
Brown town, Brown cow.
All right, let's take a break. Let's take a break. On the other side here, a couple other notes here, including Zach Lowe had an interesting article today about all these first-round picks are being tossed around right now. Teams seem to not be valuing first-round picks. What's that all about? We'll talk about that, as well as Austin Rivers reuniting with Bryn Forbes and Tim Connelly. And
feels so good.
Denver North.
Guys, make sure to pick up some Good Company hard seltzers from Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. Pick up some Good Company hard seltzers and lemonade seltzers this summer. They are perfect. If you're hanging out just on a nice Friday afternoon in July, listening to the DNVR Nuggets podcast, watching it on YouTube. Perfect if you're just chilling in a park, if you're going over to a buddy's house. The Good Company hard seltzers and lemonade seltzers, perfect for any occasion. Pick them up from Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR. If you don't know where to get Breck Brew closest to you, check out the Breck Brew beer locator on the Breck Brew website. It will tell you where you can pick some up today. Also, if you're hungry, if you got Breck Brew and you're looking for the perfect compliment, check out Sexy Pizza. 13 years in the Denver community, Sexy Pizza is as local as it gets. It's a hand-tossed deck oven pizza with made-from-scratch ingredients every morning, made-from-scratch every morning dough as well. They've got tons of great pizzas. They've got great salads, great sides. The garlic knots are phenomenal. Order from any of their four Denver locations: Cap Hill, South Pearl, Jefferson Park, and Park Hill. New location in Trinidad, Colorado as well. Like I said, awesome pies, sides, salads too. Sexy Pizza. Hit them up today. All right, let's lay down a quick DraftKings pick of the week here. Firing up the DraftKings app right now. If you look at the Northwest Division odds, I'm taking the Nuggets minus 140 to win the division. Thunder, not a threat. Utah Jazz, not a threat. Portland, not a threat. It's the Nuggets and Timberwolves. I think the Timberwolves are going to be better this season with Rudy Gobert, but they're not going to have a better record than Denver this season. Taking the Nuggets to win the division as my DraftKings pick of the week.
There you go. Final segment here. Some breaking news. Well, not really breaking. What? This happened earlier. Happened earlier today. Austin Rivers is headed to Minnesota to join Tim Connelly and Rudy Gobert and Bryn Forbes. Eric, is there any, like, we kind of chuckled in a group chat here when we saw that, you know, Tim Connelly made obviously the big move with Rudy Gobert and then Kyle Anderson as well. But then making the, like, Bryn Forbes, Austin Rivers guy, like, moves. There, we used to joke back in the Tim Connelly era here that he would.
Way back when.
Every time the Nuggets would get a player, we'd be like, look, where's he from? Is he from Baltimore? And sure enough, they almost always were. Now he's bringing in Bryn Forbes, Austin Rivers. I kind of feel like Tim Connelly knows, like, 12 guys in the NBA.
Yep, yep.
He's like, hold on.
There's, like, clearly, like, a there's a divisional, like, camaraderie that he's a part of. Like, there's a group chat for the Northwest Division. He's only – he's like, I need to make a trade. Anyone here down? Like, he will only make trades inside the division and will only acquire players he's previously signed before. This is clear. This is now official. So just know that if it happens again, it's not funny. It's just literally what I – that's all there is. But it's crazy.
But you know Austin Rivers is going to shoot, like, 90% from three against the Nuggets this year. It's just that you can.
Oh, he and Bryn Forbes are going to go hellfire against the goddamn Denver Nuggets. It's going to be horrible.
Bryn Forbes is going to lock up Bones Highland defensively somehow. We're like, what? Like,
wait, what? Who is this guy?
What's going on here?
I will say, Austin Rivers is pretty good. Pretty good player last year.
I'm actually pretty good. I'm actually bummed to lose him.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Christian Brown was supposed to replace him. And just not feeling that just yet.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. No, I mean, it's these are classic Tim Connelly moves, man. He's incredible, honestly. he's unbelievable.
He's got really funny moves.
He's the most predictable president of basketball ops and the least predictable at the same time. We've seen that this summer.
Bill Simmons on his show earlier today had a trade idea for Donovan Mitchell. Guys, let me know what you think of this one. The Nuggets get Donovan Mitchell and either Pat Bev or Bojan Bogdanovic. Take your pick. And they send out Michael Porter Jr., Ish Smith, Jeff Green, 2 first rounds, and 3 more pick swaps. So 5 picks and MPJ for this. Now, this is the weirdest trade ever because, one, like, it's just so much value. You're giving up 5 picks. I don't even think Denver can do that legally. But it just does give you a little bit of a window into, like, how people view Donovan Mitchell and Michael Porter Jr. Because I look at this and I go, does somebody think Denver needs worse defense and better offense?
Was there a little asterisk below the trade that said, remember, Denver drafted Donovan Mitchell once and then traded him to Utah? Probably. Was that also included in that?
I just thought it was so funny. Like, it's such an absurd idea in my opinion. But it's also one of those things where it's like, what does Donovan Mitchell bring to the Nuggets? They already have a top offense. They already have a lead ball handler. Like, to give a second one just seems so crazy to me. I love Simmons. Like, it's not even a critique of him. It just was one of those ones where I'm like, what do people think the Nuggets need? Offense?
I know. Yeah. I mean, people on the outside just look at it as, oh, the Nuggets are right there on the doorstep. They just need the one more piece. And
they need a star.
Donovan Mitchell is the sexiest piece that's available right now. But no, like, Donovan Mitchell is the opposite of what the Nuggets need.
he always has been.
Yeah,
he really is.
That's the funny thing. He literally always has been. Like, yeah. It wouldn't have made sense for them ever to have drafted him, like, in earnest because he and Jamal would just be.
They would have had to fought for it. Yeah, it would have
been a confusing pairing forever. Yes, it's one or the other.
The thing you can say though is, look, Calvin Booch just a couple days ago, or it was Michael Malone who said, look, Jamal Murray's not going to play every game to begin the season. He's not even going to play 30 minutes. To begin the season. We'll see on that. But like early on in the year, like I think the Nuggets are going to be fine. They were last year without Jamal Murray, but you could use Donovan Mitchell for, you know, until January.
Yeah.
And then it'd get awkward after that, you know.
Here's some stats for you guys though, because you might have seen on the timeline last night. I was late at night before bed watching some highlights of Nikola Jokic, Bones Highland, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter. Every now and then I like to refresh my memory about exactly what these guys do.
What are we doing with our lives?
In 2 seasons, in roughly 1,000 minutes, when those 3 have shared the court, Jamal Murray, Michael Porter, Nikola Jokic, their offensive rating is 126.4. 126. And for people that don't know, that's 126.4 points per 100 possessions, where league average this season was like 111. So, like, it is significantly more points in
winning every game by 15 points.
Yeah, like 15 more points per game than like an average lineup or whatever, which is just absolutely insane. For reference, here's a reference point for you guys. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Kevin Durant, and their 3 seasons together, 123 offensive rating. The Nuggets had almost a 4 points per 100 possessions better offensive rating with their big 3. Now, of course, the Warriors had about 4 times as many minutes. More minutes, usually things kind of regress a little bit, although 1,000 minutes is not nothing. That's actually a pretty good sample size. And a lot of those minutes were with some like not so great other pieces surrounding them. Nonetheless, I look at that and I just go, we forget that even though all of us can agree, we never saw those 3 guys mesh perfectly, meaning it never felt like all 3 guys were in perfect harmony the way that Murray and Jokic are in perfect harmony. You never fully got Michael Porter. But guess what? It didn't matter. They still scored like at the greatest rate any 3 players have ever scored at. And it was just one of those refreshers going through the numbers to be like, oh, that's right. Their offense is like not just great. It's off the charts great.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing about all of last year being the purgatory year. Where we've been just as a fan base, where we're just like – artificially down. We're just like, if things have been feeling, you know, for a while, like we're just stuck in the malaise. We just can't break free. But it's because the reason you stick with this team and the reason that you believe in them is because we know and we've seen, it's not just theory. We have seen with our eyes and scientifically can point to things that are very provable that this team is great. There's greatness waiting to erupt with the Denver Nuggets. And it just all comes down to health. I mean, that's that margin of error. It's just when you have three guys and two of them get hurt, like, what are you supposed to do? We watch. Well, I mean, I just can't even wait. Like watching Nikola Jokic able to develop his game, you know, by himself when his two running mates were not available to develop like a three-man game with.
Right.
I mean, that's just why, you know, we're all so high on the Denver Nuggets.
But here's what's funny, Eric. Last year, the Nuggets with Jokic on the court had like a 118 offensive rating. And when they had Jokic and Aaron Gordon on the court, it was like 121. And that was another like big sample size. So even last year, with a hodgepodge group of players, the Nuggets, it does feel like the floor for a Jokic lineup when you have like actual players out there is 120 or better, which is really absurd. It's like, that's the floor. And then, and but it makes you wonder what the ceiling is.
It's different in the playoffs though, right? Like you can like run teams in the regular season with Jokic and whoever.
Right. Oh,
the
right.
Playoffs though. Right. Yeah. That's when you're going to be like, oh, we have Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. and Nikola Jokic with KCP stretching the floor and Aaron Gordon in the dunker spot. Like, that's when you're really going to look at this roster and be like, nah, like, these guys should be able to score on everybody. Like, that's when it's really going to separate.
As I keep – this comment has come up twice. KCP for $15 million is overpaid. Would rather have PJ Tucker for $11 million. Number one, they play different positions, so I don't understand. Like, PJ Tucker's a power forward. You know, Denver had a couple power forwards on the roster that they feel are somewhat comparable to PJ Tucker. And then also, PJ Tucker's 38 years old. He's my age. Like, there's a difference between getting a guy at 29 years old versus a guy at 38. PJ Tucker, the list of players that are 38 or older in the NBA, it's like four guys. So he's one of the oldest players in all of the NBA, and we just know guys at that age are so prone to one hammy getting pulled and being done. So he's a great player, but I don't know that you can make that comparison for those two guys. They're different positions, different ages, different niches. Last thing here before we get out, Zach Lowe had a big article today, and I thought it was really interesting talking, and I've actually heard this as a topic of conversation from some people. Seven picks for Rudy Gobert? Like, DeJounte Murray was what, five picks all told? And Zach Lowe did an interesting thing where he went back, and I can't remember what the trade was, but it wasn't that long ago. It was like 2016, and a superstar player asking for two picks, and everyone's like, no, you can't do it. That's two picks. You can't trade two unprotected first rounders. Now teams are throwing out four or five. And I think the Jrue Holiday, this wasn't in the article, but I think the Jrue Holiday trade kind of shifted people's minds. He put out a couple of different theories. One of them was there have been four, is it four or five in a row champions now? I think it's five in a row, different champions. The NBA hadn't had four different champions since like 1965. There's been some kind of repeat or, you know, somebody has won it in a four-year window two times. There's been four different ones now or five different ones over the last four or five seasons. And I think that there is the sense of there's more parity. Like the Suns made went from not in the play-in to all the way to the finals in 1 year. I think there's the sense that your fortunes can change and maybe people are more willing to go in. Also, the lottery odds are a little bit flatter. But Eric, part of team building, when we looked at the Jokic era from 3, 4, 5 years ago and we started thinking, Jrue Holiday, should he do it? Ooh, that's a lot of picks. Are we at the point now where teams are just like, F them picks for real? And now what it takes to win a title is to trade 4 or 5 first-round picks? And you're all in.
There's going to be terrible repercussions like in the years. This is like this thing you're like, oh, picks, whatever. Yeah. I mean, like, especially guys like these are GMs that will be like, I'm not going to be here in 5 years. Like, what do I care? Like,
Minnesota, Atlanta, like the teams that did this, and then maybe even Milwaukee, they really are like one Giannis forcing his way out or Trey Young leaving. Like, those guys leave and they're going to be like, oh shit, we have zero picks for 5 years. And
in 5 years is a, period of time you can just kind of throw up, be like, oh, I think, you know, the Nuggets will be good in about 5 years. You know how long 5 years is?
It's like, a long time.
You know how long last season was? It was the longest period of time I've ever measured. It is so goddamn long. It's like when the Brooklyn Nets like put themselves in purgatory for nearly a decade because they traded all of their picks, all of their capital so they could get essentially the corpse of the Boston Celtics to try and somehow win a championship there. Did not work. And they've, you know, they were able to somehow convince Kevin Durant to come back or come there. And obviously that's not worked out either, but like this, it's just bad business, man. Right. It just feels like nothing right now. You just be like, oh, a pick, whatever. It's nothing. Like it's an idea. Yeah. Like
I wonder if the way the NBA economy is so out of whack and people don't realize it just yet. And to your point, there will be some teams that the league is like, do we need to step in? The Atlanta Hawks haven't won 10 games in 4 years. Like this is bad for all of us that this is happening. We might run into that, but I also just feel like there's two economies in the NBA. Contenders and rebuilders, and they're just going to keep shifting assets back and forth. Like the Thunder are going to end up with really good role players that they end up trading for more picks, and then later on they're going to have a good team with all these picks, but they need role players, so they're going to trade it back.
Possible.
And it really is just two economies exchanging hands. I think it's dumb though. I don't think it makes
sense. But this is inflation.
It's really about the haves and the have-nots in the world that we live in.
Yeah. I see.
The contenders and the rebuilding teams.
Well, you guys joke, but I actually do think I brought it up for a reason because I really do think it's going to frame the NBA for the years to come. And that it's just when you notice trends and the NBA operates a certain way, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, super teams are happening, and you're like, well, I don't know if that's a big deal. 5 years later, it's like the only way the NBA operates now. And I see this too, where I'm like, teams are caution to the wind. Five picks for a trade. Now you're the Nuggets, and you're like, man, if we could get a defensive small forward, Mikal Bridges is good. What would it cost to get him? Six first round picks. You're like, what? What
are we doing? But you actually think about it. You're like, well.
Yeah. You're like, well, I guess I would rather have Mikal Bridges than.
You're like, can we draft a guy?
Yeah. Would I rather have Mikal Bridges or six Christian Browns? Like Mikal Bridges.
You son of a bitch. That's too soon.
Now I can kind of see where these teams are coming from.
Anyway, nothing they're
like,
makes sense.
You're like two first round draft picks. You mean P-Watt and Christian Brown? No problem.
Well, it's so funny, man, because I was even thinking this when you're watching these guys struggle today. I was thinking, you know, and time will tell what's right or wrong. Like, honestly, I don't want us to go back and relitigate this whole, like, Tim Connelly, you know, count with this or that. But it was funny, like, watching these guys and being like, I don't know if they're good. When Tim Connelly's last three draft picks were actually RJ Hampton, who appears to not be that good, Zeke Nnaji, verdict out, but looks at best to be a role player, and then Bones Highland, who looks dope. So it's like, you kind of hit the whole spectrum of this. You know what I mean? Oh, like, you got a good-looking player, a medium-looking player, and a bad-looking player.
And that's probably pretty average.
And that's like that's pretty that's average. What everybody outcome. Does. They hit one out of three on their first rounders, which is kind of how it goes. So anyway, I just think it's funny. We'll have to wait and see how all of this shakes out. You almost never know until the very end. But any final thoughts before we get out of here?
Well, I saw our guy Brian Windhorst tweet today that executives are going on vacation, so there's probably not going to be a Kevin Durant trade in the next couple of days. So everybody's on vacation. Just heads up. All the execs.
Not us.
Just, you know, heading out.
We're still here, baby. We're still here. Also, let's not watch any more Summer League games.
We have one more.
Let's
game,
not do that. Right?
It's going to be the dopest one. It's going to be the dopest one Sunday. It's going to start our week off great. We're going to have. It's going to go down as the Kamagate game.
The comeback Kamagate.
That would be great. All right, everybody. Great. Thanks so much for hanging out with us on a Friday night. We're going to go off into our weekend. We hope you guys enjoy yours as well. Do us a favor. Hit that like button on the way out. But also, if you have not left us a 5-star rating and review, we haven't gotten one for like 4 months. I don't know. I think it's Eric. I don't know if it's Eric's fault.
I've been gone largely for the those.
Damn it. I'm back. Hey, Eric's back.
Do it for me specifically. Leave a 5-star review for D-Line specifically.
We did this for Dev, and if you actually read the last like 10 reviews, they're just about Dev. So, all right, it's Eric's turn. Guys, say nice things.
Let's go.
But if you actually look at the name, it's like devjohnson1@gmail.com. dev_johnson@gmail.com.
Superstar.dev.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Let's go.